Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the worst things in life that we can imagine is to lose a child. Some of you don't have to imagine, I know. You know what it is like. The two widows in our Old Testament and Gospel readings today knew what it was like. The two widows who wept at the loss of their only sons. If you watch the news this week, I know on the news I saw that there's a couple of sons from Bearden High School who died in a car crash down in Georgia. We mourn for them with them. It's awful, but it's not uncommon in life for parents to lose a child. Just knowing that it's fairly uncommon or fairly common doesn't make it easier. But one thing that does make it easier is hearing how God has a specific kind of compassion for those who lose a child, and how God has acted in real time and space to bring comfort to a dying world. Comfort and promise to grieving parents. God in our text today showed compassion for the widows. And God's compassion drove him to action. An action that has become a source of comfort that is found nowhere else. These weeping widows received back their sons. They witnessed a true resurrection of their bodies. If that tells us anything about God, is that he is not without compassion and that he listens to the pleas of his prophets, namely Elijah and Jesus, when they ask the Father to act now, not later, on behalf of his people. God granted the miracle of restoring life, life's most precious commodity, a child. In so doing, he offered a little foretaste of what God would do for his only son on the third day. The take-home message today from our text is that God works through his prophets to show power and compassion. God does not ignore the grief and the pain of his people. We can be tempted to think, because of all the bad things that happen in the world, that God doesn't care, that he doesn't listen, or that he doesn't exist, or that he is helpless and cannot or will not do anything for us. But such explanations do not account for all the history and probably not our own personal experiences with God's grace. A better explanation is that God has revealed just enough compassion for us. In fact, plenteous compassion for us, that we may have faith. Faith that tenderly invites us to believe that he will come again and have ultimate compassion for us on the last day when he will raise our bodies back to life and restore our families, that we may be together again, mothers, sons, fathers, daughters. Therefore, we endure by faith. Therefore, we hope in God by faith. Therefore, we pray to God by faith. Therefore, we believe in God and lean on his wisdom and patience and learn to trust him alone through all of our times of crosses and causes of despair. Therefore, we ask God in faith for comfort, and God provides it in his word. Therefore, we have compassion like God and carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You remember Abraham, how he asked God in the Old Testament about the city of Sodom? Abraham asked God, Lord, if there is only 50 people, righteous people left, will you not save the city? And God said, if there are 50 people, I will not destroy it. And then how Abraham said, well, Lord, if there's 40 people left, will you not destroy it? And God says, if there are 40 people left, I will not destroy it. And then Abraham, getting braver and braver, well, there's 30 people, 20 people, down to 10 righteous people in the city. Will you not destroy it? And God answered the compassionate plea of Abraham and said, if there are 10 righteous people in the city, I will not destroy it. And this is for Sodom. For Sodom, for the sinful, slimy city of Sodom. And yet God will have compassion for his people. He listens to the pleas of his prophets like Abraham, like Elijah, like Jesus. God has compassion. Jesus today showed what kind of compassion that God has. Splankna is the Greek word used in the text when Jesus saw the widow of Nain weeping for her son at his funeral. Splankna means moved to the very depths of his bowels. That in the gut kind of care and concern. Deeply moved, we might say, though splankna is more visceral. Jesus had splankna. He showed compassion. And his compassion moved him to action by raising the widow's son, just as God did through Elijah for the widow in the Old Testament. Now, if the most awful thing in the world is losing a child, then one of the best things in life is to gain back a child who was dead. Such were the miracles in today's text. And these two miracles point ahead to our future in Christ. The scripture describes our condition before God as lost and even dead. All of us were once dead to God due to sin and Adam's fall. But God, through his compassion, through splankna, showed by his son's dying and rising for us, brought us back to life. God treats each of us as if we were the only sons of weeping widows. In baptism, he unites us to Christ's death and resurrection and promises that we will witness our own bodily resurrection in the days to come. Therefore, we hear this good news today and rejoice in the miracles and the mercy of God in our texts, Old Testament and New. For just as the people of God in their day rejoiced at the miracle and mercy in which God showed to them, so should we. All the while believing as they did that God has sent his great prophet into the world, the prophet of prophets, Christ Jesus, God's own son, whom he raised from the dead to the glory of the Father. In this dying world, rejoice and cling to the cross of the great prophet, Christ Jesus, God's son. Out of his saving death comes the restoration of God's full family. Life will be restored. The greatest comfort we have in this dying world is the compassion that God revealed in bringing back his only son back from death into life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, and the compassion of God, which he richly bestows on each one of you this day, be with your hearts and your minds always. Amen. We rise for the prayers. As God's children today, he invites us to pray for all those, and as priests of God, we pray for all those who have needs and intercede on their behalf. Today we pray for Bob Leinert. It's Scott Sandy's uncle. Scott and Jennifer Lanham were married last year. It's Jennifer Lanham's Sandy last name, but Bob Leinert is Scott's uncle. We pray for him this day. We pray for Steve Steckel, who's having some heart issues. He's here with us today. We pray for Aaron Wade, who's having hip surgery this Tuesday. We ask you to pray for him this week as he has this important hip surgery. We pray for Richard Brown, Cameron Brown's father, who's having chemo, beginning that this week. And Bill, a friend of Cameron, who's recovering. We also pray for Jerry Etzel, Rose Otero, Bill Hodson, and Jennifer, Melody Zimmer's sister. We pray. God the Father, your Son gave his life to deliver us from this world of sin and heartbreak. Continue to give your church faithful pastors and missionaries who proclaim the divinely given gospel of Christ recorded in Holy Scripture, that we and people from all nations may receive Jesus' gifts of forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. O God of heaven, you serve us through those who rule over us. Help us to keep the laws of our land meant for good order in your kingdom here on earth. Direct and govern our president, our governor, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they may serve this country in godly wisdom. Defend the weakest among us, especially the unborn. Grant justice to all and maintain peace in our land. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, look with mercy as you did for the widow's sons today upon the sick and injured among our church and our members' families. Especially we pray for Aaron and for Jerry and Rose and Bill and Jennifer and Bob and Richard, Steve and Bill. If it be your will, grant them healing, restoration, and strength. Renew their bodies and minds for service and praise of you, or give them patience to endure and faith unto life everlasting. Sustain and comfort those who mourn the death of loved ones. Especially we pray for the families at the Bearden High School whose students died. We also pray for Melanie Bartholomew's friend whose mother passed away. Lord, may they find hope in the resurrection of your only Son. Constantly encourage all those in need with your grace and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for those who travel this week and this summer. Grant them safety and rest in times of reunion with family and renewal and refreshment from their work. Bless newborns and those about to be born among our congregation. Bless the mothers, bless our hospitals and their work of mercy and restoration of health and deliverance from sickness as an extension of your great goodness. Bless all the agencies that work to bring aid to those who suffer loss and hunger, especially now in New Orleans and in the panhandle of Florida. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we are not worthy to have your Son come among us, yet in loving kindness and love, you invite those united in faith to gather at the table of your Son to eat his body and drink his blood. Bless all who commune here this day, granting them faith to receive the promised forgiveness of sins, communion with you and all the saints in heaven, and eternal life and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. During the offering, please pass the fellowship pads in your pews, write your name.